Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics, from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today.
Interest rates hit the highest level in 22 years.
My Lord.
What does this mean for us as consumers?
Unfortunately, the prices of everything is going to go up. We'll talk about the real estate pending bubble that we have with real estate rental prices being so high. But for those of us who are old enough to remember, this may not be the end. I remember a time where if you had like a 580 credit score, if you paid for a mortgage, your interest rates could be 12 or 11%. I hope that we don't go that high. The Fed's been pretty clear in their plan for the last year and a half about what they want to do. But I'm seeing people are starting to get a little bit worried. We talked about it before. The average payment is $790 for a new car. The rental market is going up. Mortgages are going up. Everything is just going to cost more. So we have to be a lot more effective in our planning and our spending as interest rates go up.
Yeah. So, I mean, for consumers, like you just said, car loans are going to cost more. Mm-hmm. Credit cards are going to, the debt's going to be, the interest rates are going to be higher and mortgage rates are going to be higher. That's what it means, right? Straight up. That's what this means with the interest rates being raised. But on the other side, well, there's another thing that it means. It means that we're further away from 2%, which is what Fed Chair Powell has been saying. Like, they want to get back to 2%, but as we keep raising and keep raising, and hopefully they think like this will be, there'll be a pause in September, if not maybe a quarter, and then it's going to be, depending on the economic data, which is showing that it may stop, we'll get to 5.5%, and it'll stop there, which is further. But on the bright side, if there is one, does that mean, and I'll pose this question, does that mean where recession is off the table? Because that's what, you know, that's the other part of this, right? As the interest rates get higher, economic data is showing that, you know what, there might be a chance for a soft landing, and maybe we don't go into a recession, which could cause a catastrophic event.
I think they already announced that a recession is not going to happen this year. So most economic analysts are in agreement that we probably will not see a recession.
So then where we, when we talked about this in February, when we're saying, all right, by definition, this should be, right? Two negative quarters does equal a recession. Do we have to now change what the definition is for a recession, right? Because did it really feel like one? Because this might have been the bullish recession we've ever seen.
I think they changed it to fit the narrative that was good at the time. So, like, if a triple-double is 9 points, 9 rebounds, and 9 steals, Jason Kidd may have the all-time record. Like, I think they adjusted it for what was convenient for them to prevent panic. I don't think we should change the definition. I think this would be, like, the Balco era of investing, where it's like, hey, this one just didn't count, which is interesting in itself. And as interest rates go up, it slows down spending for a lot of people. If you ask anyone as we're out and about, I don't think people feel more confident in their financial situation more so now than they did 2 years ago. So I don't know how they keep saying that the economy is in such a great place when interest is going up. Like, even like, for, let's say if you can rent a 4-bedroom in New York, what's the cost to rent that in New York now? $8,000.
But you know what's so crazy is, like, going back to the eye test. And I was talking to Moore, shout out to Moore, and we were just having a conversation
from Rory.
Yeah, from Rory and Moore.
Shout out to Moore.
Money bags in chat.
And we were talking, and I was having this
conversation. Money bags. No recession for him.
It's a fact. I had this conversation with a few different people about the luxury apartment buildings in New York. It's interesting dynamic was happening here. These luxury apartment buildings in New York, and I've seen it happen in Atlanta as well, where they're starting to look like the trap house.
Boy, run down, right?
Not even that. It's just like you see a bunch of people just in a lobby hanging out outside. A lot of dancers are moving in. And I'm like, yo,
what? Ballerinas?
Yeah.
That's a sign of recession.
Is it? Because I was talking yesterday, I'm like, what are you? And they're like, yo, it's a lot of money out here.
Okay.
A lot of people getting money.
This is what I'm getting to.
Because I'm like, there can't be that many, because they have different programs to get people in. But I'm like, everybody here can't be on a program. So how is these, and it's not just one building. Mm-hmm. It's a trend that's happening. And he was like, yo, it's a lot of money out here.
So that's what I'm getting to, right? Like, if we look at consumer spending, it's pretty strong. So at some point, when is it not going to be strong? And as far as, like, from an enterprise side, like, at some point, even when we look at some of these earnings, and we expected growth to slow down, right? We expected revenue to be cut back, especially in the second half of this year. But when we looked at the reporting from the second quarter, we're not seeing that. So at what point will we see the effects of the interest rates being raised? Is it the second half of 2024? Is it 2025's first quarter? Like, at some point, when will we see the effects? Because, I mean, you raise interest rates, it's going to take time for it to kick in. But, like, to Shadi's point, people are still spending. And this isn't like PPP anymore. Like, this is something different.
Yeah. Let me run off two stats real quick. 49% of people in the U.S. with equity has the equity is worth less than it was 2 years ago. Pre-pandemic, it was 27%, and 83.5% of people ages 25 to 54 are looking for work, which is 2.2 million more than COVID. The truth is, like, it'll start to be shown after whoever wins the next election. For whatever reason, there's a lot of fear that if this is announced before the next election, that Biden will be thrown out of office. And I can totally understand why. The Republicans don't want Trump to get back in. The Republican Party's in shambles and who they want to lead. DeSantis is having trouble. They don't want to back RFK. They don't want Trump. The Democrats are stuck with Biden and Hunter having fun in the White House office. So it's a shit show across the political landscape in terms of, like, the presidential race. But I think after the new president is announced, then we'll start to see what the real data is and how things are really going. And yes, actually, that stripper indicator for the ratio of strippers that buy homes and properties is an actual index to look at.
Yeah,
it really is. So I know it's a lot of people getting money, but it's a lot of people who are out here hurting. And I don't think that they're telling the real story about the economy of what's going on. And I think after the election, the truth will start to come out slowly but surely.
Yeah, I mean, well, inflation numbers have gone down, right? I mean, from what you're speaking to, the unemployment rate, from what we've seen, it's been pretty low to a certain point. So, I mean, it's kind of consistent, right? If they're saying, like, the first quarter of 2025, then that would be after the presidential cycle, right? Because the president will be elected in 24 of November.
Yep.
Then they'll go into office in 25. So maybe that is consistent, and we will see that, right? Because who wants to have that on their tenure, on their resume? There was a recession during your term, right? Especially if you're trying to be reelected. That definitely is not going to help.
Shadi, it's a point I know you want to bring up, so I don't want that to be left out.
Yeah, well, I feel like, you know, it's a few different things that's happening. It's interesting because, yeah, there are people that are struggling, but the economy itself is still healthy. The stock market is booming. As you said, unemployment is down reasonably. Inflation has come down. The housing market is still high. It kind of slumped a little bit, but it hasn't falling off a cliff, and it's still places like Miami where it's just going crazy. Miami is at a point, that's, I don't insane. Know how it can, like, Miami is at a point now where it's unstoppable, and the way that they're developing, it's going to look like Manhattan in 5 years. Like, the development that's happening in Miami and the money that's flowing into Miami right now is just unbelievable. And there's still places like New York where real estate is still high and rents are still high and people are still living. And Drake set up a whole residency in New York. I've never really seen anything like that. He was in New York for 2 weeks doing six shows. He sold out Madison Square Garden. I don't know why he just didn't do arenas.
Seven.
But shows.
Well, he did four in Barclays, three in the Garden.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's unprecedented. Like, he set up shop in New York.
The dude Harry Styles did 15 in a row.
Well, yeah, why absolutely. Not?
They put a banner up for this
those
dude.
Tickets are not cheap.
They're not. They are not.
$1,200, $2,000, and he's selling out every single night.
Yeah.
So there's different things that's happening with this economy where I don't think that it's to the point where, you know, is extremely bad.
Yeah. That they did an interesting report on that. Like, and this is why, and I had this talk about Live Nation, because they were looking at that, the economic impact that some of these tours are having on these cities and the economy in general. Right, when you got Taylor Swift, who's doing her world tour, and it's in the United States, and it's boosting the economy of each city that she's in. Beyonce's doing the world tour, and now she's in America doing it, and she's boosting the economy, right, from a travel standpoint, from a hospitality standpoint, and from the revenue that's being brought into the arenas or the stadiums that they, because I shouldn't say arenas, they're doing stadium tours and the taxes that are being. So these things are helping as well. I talked about The Weeknd before about what he's doing, and you just mentioned Drake. So, like, all these tours happening, they're helping from a certain standpoint. I know it's a small piece. I think they brought in like $5 billion over the course of the end of June and July, which is a large amount, but to the economy, which is like over, was it $70 trillion?
Yeah.
It plays a part in it. It plays its part in it, for sure.
It definitely does. And I think you got to give Joe credit. He said that in a couple of years that going to concerts will be like a super luxury item. And we're getting there now. Like Drake tickets are not cheap. Taylor Swift isn't cheap. When we tried to go to that Harry Styles concert last year, I think the tickets was $2,500 and couldn't get tickets. He was sold out every date possible to be able to go. So I think those that are doing well are continuing to do well. But those who are not doing well and those that have been lost the last 4 or 5 years, I think this gap and the disparity is becoming so wide that it's going to be hard to make up for it in a few years. That's my concern. Yes, of course, there's always going to be people who make money. They're going to be high earners. It's the 80-20 rule, like 20% of the people are going to make an exorbitant amount of money. 80% is not. But I'm worried about that gap being so wide. With rising rent, even here in Houston, like there's a lot of people who moved to Houston because it was considered affordable, and now a lot of them are also being priced out. So I think the gap is a story that isn't being told, and every company seems to be adjusting to going the luxury route or premium pricing, which I've always been pro. But the lower end companies, I was reading an article earlier, Amazon and Walmart are now expanding to India as well, following in the footsteps of Apple. Xander says, hey, congrats on your win. So I think India's economy is raising up and it's filling in that middle class gap that we lost. And we're really a luxury good, luxury service kind of market now. And it's going to be bad for a lot of people.
All right. Well, we'll monitor the situation.